Tonight we're reading Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 1 and through to verse 11. Please join along with me. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to him, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus.
Please leave your Bibles open there. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before. Thanks so much for reading. Isabel, have you got a night shift again tonight? That's a big effort. Hopefully you don't die from lack of sleep. Thanks for serving us so well in being tired. And thanks to the band. The band are always great, but tonight I felt like you guys were rocking it out. Thanks for that. Pity about the long exit out of one of the end songs. But anyway, but apart from that, it was fantastic. Now, I just want to plug something very quickly, and that is that next Sunday, this is the 20th of March at 10:30 a.m, I'm having a little welcome brunch at my place with my wife and my four children and my dog. We'd love you to come and join us. It's a chance for anyone who's kind of new or newish. So newish could mean anything from you've been here for 2 weeks to you've never come to one of these things and you've been here for 5 years. You work out the category that you're in. But if you'd like to come along, please come and have a chat with me. I think some of the welcoming crew will be handing out some of these as well. But I'd love to kind of have you around, eat some eggs, eat some bacon. I have those skills to cook that stuff, hash browns even. And we can kind of just have a bit of a chat about what church is about. And then that'll be it really, to be honest with you. Righto, how about we pray that God would help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, please help us to see that Jesus is the authority. And Father, please help us to trust in him. And Father, please help us to know that he is good, that he wants what's best for us, that he laid down his life for us. Father, please help us to delight in Jesus. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you ever saw the series called John Safran versus God. Now, I need to warn you, this is not a Christian series, but it was really insightful. It was a little bit funny too, if I'm honest. John is genetically a Jew, but in the series, he kind of sets out to take down all religions. And the great thing is, he's fair. He actually equally pays out all religions. Now, it's possibly a little un-PC these days, but if you get the chance to watch it, it is great. It's pretty funny. My favourite episode is an episode called Extreme Mormon, where he makes this little video about Mormon missionaries travelling around the country riding, you know what? Riding what? Mountain bikes. Riding mountain bikes, doing extreme wheelies, and it's actually got really good production values. It's like a trailer for a movie that I want to see, but they've never made it. So if you ever get the chance to make a movie about extreme Mormons, please let me know. I will watch it. I'll pay you $5 to produce it if you want to do that. Anyway, now John, I think he says at some point that he would, if he was going to follow any religion, he would probably follow Judaism because it would make sense. You know, him being a Jew, it would make sense him following Judaism. But you know what? John is particularly drawn to Catholicism and a guy called Father Bob. Now, mate, you might have heard of Father Bob before. He has a radio program. He's a bit of a character. Well, one night, John is being trained to be an altar boy. And he's got the smoke thing happening. He's got the candles things and everything else. And Father Bob is stressing. He's stressing how to do a particular job because of certain people. And Father Bob, he says this. He says this. Jesus could turn up tonight and perform the rituals, and these people still wouldn't be happy. See, these people see themselves as the authority and not Jesus. And something very similar is going on in our passage tonight. Now, over the last few weeks, we've seen that Jesus has been establishing his authority, but the religious leaders, that the Pharisees, they don't want to give up their power. And so in tonight's passage, they want to kind of corner Jesus. They're looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, even though he is the legit ruler, even though he's good and he's the best kind of leader, the kind of leader you'd love to be ruled by. They want to get rid of him. And we have to pay special attention because the reality is we want to be in charge too. And that was the essence of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. They wanted to be the boss. But if we're going to be a part of God's new people, of Jesus' new people, we need to realize that Jesus is the authority and that he's good and he wants our best. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 6. Our first point tonight is that Jesus is the authority. Let's pick up the action from verse 1. It says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Now, these verses really set the scene for our first point and for the rest of the passage. Jesus and his followers, they've been walking through some grain fields. They've picked some heads of grain, they've rubbed them in their hands, and they've eaten them. Now, the Old Testament makes it clear in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, that there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's okay to walk through someone's field and kind of pick some grain and eat it. The problem is they're doing it on a Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees are obviously following Jesus and his disciples. They're looking to catch Jesus out. They don't like his authority. And so they ask Jesus why his followers are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Now, this is a little bit complex because while work was forbidden on the Sabbath and punishable by death, the Old Testament doesn't actually spell out what work actually is. And because there's a lack of clarity, the Pharisees made up 39 extra rules to follow to ensure that no one broke the Sabbath. These rules that they'd made up kind of boxed in the law, but they were a real burden. Now, on the Sabbath, you weren't allowed to drag your chair through the dirt because that could be considered ploughing the field, getting it ready for planting crops. You weren't allowed to kind of climb a tree on the Sabbath because if by chance as you climb the tree you accidentally broke a branch, that could be considered reaping. You weren't allowed to ride a horse through the field because the horse might just lodge kind of a seed from a plant and that would be considered reaping as well. The rules are kind of crazy. They're over the top. If you want to find out more about them, if you get bored any time, go onto Wikipedia. They're all listed there. Kind of maybe next time you have some quiet time to yourself, you can read through those laws and kind of see how crazy they are. But after busting Jesus and his followers for eating some heads of grain, Jesus corrects the Pharisees by indicating that they've misunderstood. They've misunderstood the purpose of the law. They've misunderstood the purpose of the Sabbath. Let's pick up Jesus' response from verse 3. It says this. Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Jesus responds to the Pharisees by asking a question about David. Now, it's important to know that David was really important in God's Old Testament people. No one would want to speak ill of him. And Jesus says, "Have you read about David?" And they probably have. Most of us are probably thinking we've read about David and, you know, King and Goliath. We've read about that, but we're not really kind of sure about this story. But it's from 1 Samuel chapter 21, if you want to read it later on. And it basically refers to a time when David was on the run from King Saul. King Saul was trying to kill David because David was God's newly appointed king. And David goes to the priest and he asks for some bread. The only bread that the priest has is bread that only the priests are meant to eat. But David takes the bread and he kind of goes and eats it with his followers. And the Old Testament passage, it doesn't condemn David for his actions, even though what he did was forbidden. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, the law is not as rigid as you guys make it. There are times when it's okay to break the law. It depends on the circumstance. Now, it's hard to know whether Jesus' followers actually did break the Sabbath by eating the heads of grain, but in the eyes of the Pharisees, they have. However, Jesus is saying to them, hey guys, the law, it's not as rigid as you make it. There are times when it's okay to break it, just like when King David broke it to feed himself and his men. And you know what? Jesus is actually much greater than King David. He actually refers to himself as the Son of Man in verse 5. He says, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is saying, you know what? I am the ruler of the entire world, and therefore I have authority over the Sabbath. I can therefore tell you what to do on the Sabbath, how to use it, what breaking it is and isn't. Jesus is saying, I'm the authority here, guys, and not you, the Pharisees. And it's okay to eat some grain on the Sabbath if you walk through a field. Who cares? The Sabbath is actually meant to be about doing good. It's meant to be a restful thing, not something that brought more pain and suffering. It's not about lots of extra rules. Now, during Bible college, if you want to be a Presbyterian minister, you have to do a subject called polity. It's a subject about all the church rules and how they work. And to be honest with you, it's actually really hard to get your head around how all the church rules work. There's so many of them. It's so complex. It's written in like old English, and you kind of think, what is even going on here? Anyway, in this subject, my goal was to work as hard as I could to understand the subject. And, you know, I was trying to be a diligent student, but I was also being a little bit crafty. I was also trying to be really, really nice to the teacher so that, you know what, when I didn't know what was going on, I could give my mate Leslie a call and he would tell me what to do. Now, Leslie is someone who loves the law. He loves looking at the law. Sometimes his lectures were so hard to pay attention in because he gets so excited about the law that he'd kind of get sidetracked by it all. He'd just be kind of going off about how exciting the law is, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I have no idea what you're talking about, but at least you're excited about it. You're the one person in the room excited about it. No one else was. But anyway, I'm good friends with Leslie. I love his tie. Him and his wife, that his tie always matches what his wife's wearing. He's a lovely guy. And you know what? When we're in a church meeting, when we have like a presbytery meeting or a leadership meeting, and there's debate, when there's debate over the way forward, when people have different opinions about the church law, how do we move forward? Well, what do we do? Well, we get on the phone and we talk to my mate Leslie. He's the authority and he helps us move forward. He gives us the correct interpretation of the church rules, of the church law. Well, friends, the Pharisees are looking to bust Jesus. They want to get rid of him. So they're watching him. They're waiting for him to break a rule. And breaking the Sabbath was a very visible rule to break. But Jesus says to the Pharisees, you guys are not the authority when it comes to the Sabbath. I'm the ruler of the world. I'm the ruler of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is actually meant to be a good thing, a blessing to people, a reminder of the rest that they were made for in the beginning of creation. It's not meant to be a burden. It's not meant to be about remembering 39 extra rules. It's actually meant to give God's people a rest, a break. It's a good thing, a restoring thing. So who cares if some people eat some heads of grain as they walk through a field on the Sabbath? Well, our first point is that Jesus is the authority. And if you want to be part of God's people, part of his new people, you have to acknowledge that Jesus is the authority. But our second point is that Jesus is for us, and he actually has God's backing. Let's pick up the action again from verse 6. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Well, here we are again. On another Sabbath, Jesus is teaching, and there's a man with a shriveled hand. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They're watching him closely. They're waiting for him to slip up. The essence of the kind of the Greek word there is that they're spying on Jesus. They're looking at him out of the corner of their eye. What's he going to do? How's he going to break the law this time? Will he heal on the Sabbath? Will he break the Sabbath? Will he do it in a very public way where everyone can see him and we'll finally get our chance to bust him? Now, the Old Testament doesn't really mention healing on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees, of course, they've made up a rule about can you heal on the Sabbath or not. And so you can only heal on the Sabbath or kind of do some sort of medical thing if a person is near death. So having a hand that kind of wasn't working, that didn't make the grade for the Sabbath. You could do that on Monday. Let's see what Jesus says to the Pharisees. Pick it up for me from verse 8. Actually, it wouldn't be Monday, would it? It'd be Sunday. True. I just thought about that. I heard something and I thought, actually, that's true. That's true. Anyway, let's not get caught up in that. Verse 8. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" Jesus is again demonstrating that he is more than a man. He knows what they're thinking. And so he gets the man with a shriveled hand to stand up in front of everyone. And the man's standing there. And then Jesus poses this question to the Pharisees. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Now, the overall intention of the Sabbath was to give God's people rest. It was meant to be a reminder of the greater rest. So, of course, it's a time for doing good. It's a time for restoring. See, Jesus wants our good. He actually wants to restore us. And so, of course, he is going to heal the man. Well, that's the first half of the question dealt with. But the second half is particularly aimed at the Pharisees. Or is the intention of the Sabbath to do evil, to destroy life? Because that's what the Pharisees are trying to do with Jesus. They're trying to trap Jesus so that they can accuse him, so that they can do evil, so that they can destroy life. Remember, the penalty for breaking the Sabbath is death. Jesus is saying the Sabbath is for doing good. And to demonstrate that, and to demonstrate that God's power is with him, he heals the man. And you can see that in verse 10. He simply tells the man to stretch out his hand, and it is completely healed. And the fact that it's healed on the Sabbath shows that God is backing what Jesus is doing, because the people know that no one gets healed without God's backing. The Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus out, but they're no match for the Son of Man. He points out how he's the authority and not them, and he's good and God's with him. But they don't change their minds. And you can see that in verse 11. Verse 11 tells us they're furious and they discuss with one another what they actually might do with Jesus. And for those of us who kind of know this story, who've read ahead before, we know where this is going, don't we? We know that ultimately the Pharisees, the religious leaders, will have Jesus killed. They don't want to submit to Jesus' authority. They want to be the authority. But the reality is, Jesus is the authority and he's good and he wants what's best for us. He's not like the Pharisees. He's kind of just want to like kind of burden us with lots of rules or pile up the rules so that they can be the authority. No, Jesus is the good authority. When I was studying soil science at university many years ago, I had a couple of different part-time jobs. One of them was working at a CD store. You can see what it's called on the screen. I hated working there. I'm not really good at music. I don't really understand music. And so when people would come in and sing a song to me, I'd be like, I don't know. And it was before that app where you can sing to the app. This was before there was smartphones. those bricks you carried around, the brick. Anyway, the customers would ask me what, and I'd have no idea. But the regional bosses, they trained in the office, in the head office. They knew all the rules, but they'd never actually worked in the shop, and so they were kind of smirmy, I'd call them, you know, a little bit cheesy. And I remember one day I got busted for wearing black shoes. I need to have shiny black shoes, not just normal black shoes. And every week I'd have to, on a Saturday when I kind of do the close-up thing, I'd have to do 45 minutes overtime. Even if I just kind of worked from 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock, I'd still have to do 45 minutes overtime. They were hard taskmasters. They were demanding more and more all the time. And I've got to tell you, working for this mob was probably the worst job I've ever had. And I'm not joking. It was so nice when I just walked out of there and said, see ya, peace out. Anyway, when I was at uni, that was one of the jobs I had. Also had another job working on a macadamia nut farm. And it was the greatest job I've maybe not ever had, but close. This job was obviously better than that job. But anyway, that boss, he treated me like I was his son. When I'd get there in the morning, on Saturday morning, he'd talk to me for about 20 minutes about snakes, then send me down the field, and I'd kind of whippersnip, and a stick would touch my legs. I'm like, oh, what is it? But anyway, he'd kind of make my senses alert. Then he would make me morning tea. Then I'd kind of do some more work. Then he would make me lunch. And then when the pickers had finished picking up the nuts in the afternoon, we'd have a beer with the pickers. Then we'd do some more work. Then we'd have a beer together at the end of each day. He was one of the best bosses that I've ever had. He was for my good. He wanted what was best for me. His name was Warren Porter, and he was a great dude. I think he still is a great dude. He's still alive. Anyway, the Pharisees, they want to lay all these extra rules on the people. But the rules aren't good for the people. They actually make life worse. And in the end, the rules are really about the Pharisees staying in power. Well, on the other hand, Jesus is a legit authority and he wants what's best for us. He doesn't want to lay lots of rules on us. He doesn't want to burden us. He wants to remind us of the true intention of the Sabbath. He made us to live in rest. God made us live in rest. But we actually rejected God. And we were kicked out of the garden. And now we have lives of toil and hardship. But as Jesus reclaims the Sabbath, with the backing of God, he's saying, you know what? I'm actually for your good. And that's God's intention all the way along. In fact, that's always been God's intention for his people after the fall. His intention was always to restore them to the rest that they were designed for. And we're part of that rest by trusting in Jesus. Jesus is making God's intentions clear. Jesus is the kind of leader that you'd like to be ruled by. He's come for our good. He hasn't come to pile up the burdens. He's come to remove the burdens, to give us rest, to give us hope, to give us peace. Well, I wonder how you think about Jesus and his authority. If you don't follow Jesus, if you haven't submitted to Jesus' authority, can I encourage you to think about that? Because Jesus actually lays down his life for you. Jesus is a great leader. He's a kind of leader you'd love to follow. He has your best intentions at heart. But if you do trust in Jesus, how are you feeling about Jesus' leadership, his authority over your life at the moment? Does it feel like a bit of a burden? Are you kind of shying away from Jesus? You're just a bit tired of trying to live up to the expectations. When you hear Jesus say, when he says the phrase, come to me all who are weary and burdened, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will give you rest. Do you think to yourself, how can that actually be true? Well, friends, if you feel like that, I can relate to how you feel. Sometimes Christianity, it does feel like a massive burden. It can feel like the opposite of rest and peace and comfort. But friends, when I feel like that, it's normally because I'm not seeing Jesus clearly. Normally I'm seeing Jesus, when I feel like that, like he's a Pharisee, like he's laying all these rules on me. rather than seeing him as the king who lays down his life for me. Friends, Jesus wants our best. And that's why he came to earth. That's why he humbled himself to death on a cross. And just like Jesus restored the man's hand, Jesus wants to restore us. He wants what's best for us. And his way of living, living with him as king, is what's best for us. Even though the world looks so good sometimes, so enticing, Jesus' way is the best way. It lasts forever. It gives eternal satisfaction. And friends, we can have that by trusting in Jesus, trusting in his death and resurrection, and longing for his return, where everything will be fully and finally restored, where we'll live in the rest that we were made for. Friends, if you're seeing Christianity as a massive burden, as 39 extra rules to follow, or whatever it might be, then can I kind of politely suggest to you that you've kind of misunderstood the kind of ruler that Jesus is. He's the king who lays down his life for you. Well, friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, thank you for King Jesus. Thank you that he is the real authority. Father, thank you that he wants what's best for us. Thanks that he laid down his life for us. Father, help us to trust in him. Father, help us to delight in him. Help us to know that living for your Son is the best way. It's a way to rest. It's a way to peace. It's a way to everlasting satisfaction. Father, please help us to know that. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.